have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
If I see a voice coming your way with your host, Alfonso Vincent L. Smith. Well, God bless you all tonight, and we praise his holy name. The Lord has brought us another week, and we are forever grateful as we make ready to get into our discussion tonight. Amen, and bless God together. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm forever thankful that the Lord keeps doing great things for me. Amen. Let us check. Amen. Our panel tonight. We want to check tonight with that wonderful woman from St. Louis. Amen. Who is the producer of this podcast. Amen. Kimmy Kim, come on and say hello.
Hello. This is the day that I will continue on praising the Lord, and he is so good. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. Well, I am ready to partake into this wonderful discussion.
All right. Well, we're going to do it in a minute. All right. Let me go down to Beach Country. And let me see if that Apostle Irvin Whitlow is with us tonight. Are there any beaches?
Hey there, man of God. Just trying to practice a little bit on that thing called a keyboard. Yeah, but we're here and we're grateful to the Lord for the voice. Man, for a second, I thought that you forgot about tonight, but I thought you were preparing for this thing called Thanksgiving. And just in case you didn't know, tomorrow is National Starvation Day, seeing that the day after is the day of stuffing. All right, man of God, the Lord bless you.
when you went across to Piano, I thought Fred Rogers had come back from the day. All right. Let me go in that upper Marlboro area down there in Maryland, and let me see if the bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard is with us tonight. All right, he must be traveling along somewhere. Hey, man, he's silent for now, but I know he's coming. He told us he's coming. Hey, man. I'm just going to check back in Georgia again, and I want to know, is that apostle from Georgia on the line, Felicia Blythe?
There is power in your thank you.
Uh-oh. She get on the line starting joke. Hallelujah.
Yeah. It's power in your thank you.
Lord. What are we going to do with a Whitlow? She get on fired up.
Well, you know, I done learned something about her. She going to always be fired up because she's full of fire. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me check.
Y'all better praise him. Praise him.
Let me just check and see. Amen. Let's go to Indianapolis. Amen. Is the Pastor Ella Henderson up with us tonight? All right. It's silent in the Central State, so we're going to keep moving and get ready for our podcast tonight. Amen. Apostle Blythe, will you please give us prayer? Apostle Whitlow, get our scripture ready.
Gracious Father, we truly thank you now, God, for all things. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity, oh God, to give your name praise, glory, and honor. Father, I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord God, that you will forgive us of every sin, oh God, that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly, oh God, every thought, oh God, every negative word, oh God, that we have said, have thought, oh God, that was not like you. Father, I ask right now that you will forgive us, cleanse us, oh God, with your blood, oh God. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, tonight's podcast, that those calling in, oh God, those that are listening, oh God, will come with a listening ear and an open heart. God, continue to word our mouth with wisdom, oh God. Guide us, oh God, in all righteousness. We thank you, Lord God, for the man of God. Whew, Lord God, have your way, but let us have fun, oh God. We don't want to be so holy, oh God, that we're no earthly good. So, Father, I thank you, I bless you, and I honor you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. And, Lord God, I know that there is power in a thank you. So, Father, I tell you, thank you, Lord God, for doing it once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Before we go to our scripture, why don't we all just tell them thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Yes, Lord God, Jesus, you've been good, Father, and I thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's have our scripture for the evening.
We are reading out of Matthew, the 5th chapter, picking up with verse number 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother. Then come and offer thy gift. I believe we're going to hold right there at verse 24. The word of God for the people of God.
All right. Last week, in our discussion, we pretty much covered from verse 18 to verse 21. And we talked about many things that are written within this text as to how we are to treat one another if not done right, why they are wrong, why they are off, why they are unbalanced. And we talked about a great deal these verses because it spoke to us in such great measure about our actions and interactions with one another. Amen. I want you to understand that we found out in this scripture, it gave a comparison of how the world acts, and then it talked about how the church acts, and it was very little different. But he kept encouraging us that the church cannot act like the world. We must do what we do in a different manner, in a different outlook. We must do it, amen. As one hotel said, we got to leave the light on. They ought to be able to see our light and know that we are children of the Most High and Holy God. Amen. And so when we left off last week, amen, we were on the verge of verse 22, and then Albert walked in on us and told us we were out of time. So tonight, we're going to jump into verse 22, and we're going to continue, amen, our flow of the scripture from last week, and we're going to go as far as time will allow us, because you need to know now, the word is never through talking. Sometimes we just got to stop because time will allow us to do no more. All right, can somebody please, Apostle Flight, Sister Kimmy Kim, if y'all can get this scripture from the Amplified Version, it's going to bless us real good tonight. I didn't hear nobody tell me they was volunteering.
Hold on. I got to maneuver here. So okay. That was, what? Wait a minute. What scripture was that again? I'm sorry. I switched phones.
Matthew 5:21.
Out of the Amplified Version. Okay.
Actually, Matthew 5:22. That's where we're at.
Matthew 5:22. But I say to you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice against him shall be guilty before the court, and whoever speaks to his brother, Raka. Okay. You empty-headed, he called a man an empty-headed idiot, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. So you empty-headed idiot, you're going to be found guilty before the Supreme Court. Call the man a fool. You fool shall be in danger of the fiery hell. So that was 22. So 23 lets us know. So if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and while there, you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there at the altar and go. Now, I'm happy we're talking about that because, you know, I keep telling y'all, every time y'all put something on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, it goes viral, the World Wide Web. So the people were at the altar. They just, they left their gift there, but they forgot to pick it back up.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
I will tell everybody on our internet tonight, our subject for the last several weeks has been, what kind of fool am I? Or what kind of fool are you? That's really what our subject has been. What kind of fool are you? And so tonight we're going to dig and start part two in this scripture by going in to Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, at which I want it read piece by piece in that Amplified verse number 22.
You want me to read it again? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to read it again?
I want you to read it again, but I want you to read it piece by piece, not the whole verse.
Okay. Well, piece by piece, Matthew 5:22 out of the Amplified. But I say to you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or labors malice against him shall be guilty before the court, and whoever speaks to his brother, Raka, you empty-headed idiot, so I got a problem with that, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says you fool shall be in danger of the fiery hell.
All right, now, let's look at that very first part. If you stay angry with your brother, going to get you. I need everybody to know, first of all, when it talks about the court, it is not talking about going into your local city or town. When it talks about the court here, it's talking about the courtroom of heaven itself. Heaven has a courtroom. And Lord God, if I knew who the author was tonight, I could tell y'all, pick up this book, Praying in the room of heaven, you will find out that there is a courtroom in heaven itself. And so the Bible tells us tonight, first of all, whoever stays mad with their brother, what in the world, what is wrong with our people that they can stay mad with somebody and still call themselves faith? That's a question for everybody.
Well, here's the reality. People stay mad with people because people are miserable. So when you're miserable, you want other folk to be miserable, and it makes you miserable to see that they're happy, to see that they're doing good, to see that they're succeeding and prospering, and here you are struggling. So what happens is, watch this, this anger comes from jealousy. This anger comes from jealousy because now this individual is sitting here saying to themselves, how come it's happening for you, but it's not happening for me? Why is it that everything is going well for you, and I've been doing the same thing, but it's not going well for me? I can't stand you. You make me sick. I don't like you, and I hope everything fails because it ain't right that you're doing good and I'm better than you because I paid my tithes. I'm always praying. I serve people. I do this and I do that. And so that's what happens because they're miserable and they're jealous. They want that to rub off on others, and so that's why they can be angry without cause, because it has nothing to do with the other individual. It has everything to do with how they are within their own status and how they can't stand it for someone else. I'm going to hold that down.
Apostle C, let me throw some at you. Since he brought up the word jealousy, what is that when somebody is appraising? Well, I know what it is because he just brought it out, but I want you to explain it. What is this thing when somebody's up praising and then somebody else says, look at him? What is that all about?
Here's the thing. Let me go ahead and piggyback off of Apostle Whitlow. Here's the thing. Jealousy is contagious, okay? Most people think that it is not. I'm going to prove you wrong. If somebody is praising, they're not concerned about what's going on around them, and they're giving God their very best, whether or not they shout every Sunday, whether or not they cry out to God every Sunday. See, the person who's saying it don't take all that, God, they really haven't experienced God in a way that other person has. See, if they would forget about themselves, if they would lay jealousy, envious, malice, hatred, all that other kind of stuff down, then they can get the same breakthrough that the other person that's over there losing their mind in God, they'll get the same thing. But see, we go to church for a fashion show. We go to church just to see what the praise team is going to sing. Because I heard somebody say today that if the praise team or the choir doesn't sing the song that you like, then you're not going to get involved in church. But see, I just came to serve notice to about 5,000 people. You better grab hold to that praise that the other person is doing, because when God blesses them and y'all on the same row, on the same street, you're going to receive the same blessing.
Okay.
So you can't be jealous in this thing. There's no jealousy in the kingdom. There's no competition in the kingdom. None whatsoever. We're supposed to be serving the same God.
All right, Kimmy Kim, let me get you in. What is this? The Lord has blessed me with a new car. I can finally drive to church. I don't have to call you, or I don't have to call Pastor Fee. I don't have to bother Whitlow. And I drive up in my new car, and before I can get out, you look over there and say, they think they something now. I'm rejoicing because the Lord done blessed me. Oh, they think they something now. What's that all about, Kiri Kiri?
That's that, like my sister said, a jealousy spirit, because when I see someone blessed, I'm happy for them, because I know if God bless you, he would bless me at the same time. So some people don't have that relationship with God, nor do they feel that they have security within themselves. people think that if they depend on, like, who they know, what they know, their education, how much money they make, that will bring them totally security, which is false, because those things can run out and those things don't talk to you. And they don't really make up who you are. So when you see someone who is blessed and they are just amazed and they're just praising God and you're saying bad things about them, it's because of jealousy, because you don't understand why this person is blessed and you're and you don't have that joy within to allow them to enjoy their blessings. Sometimes, you know how, for instance, that person thinks that she can sing, you know. She probably can sing. You could do, you know, I mean, everybody has their special gifts. Everybody's going to be blessed different ways. And that's why God says to not to covet. And secondly, when you see someone blessed, be happy for them, because he has, we serve a God without any lack. And God is so amazing. I mean, just knowing that he has no lack, whatever, okay, I read today, what you sow is what you reap. So if you're not sowing enough, do some more sowing. And then you reap the blessings that he has for you. That's why it's important that you stay in your corner, stay in your lane, but at the same time, don't show the hate. I mean, I love when I see people being blessed, because I know my blessing is on its way because I put in the work. But you have to put in the work. A lot of people think they can get this microwave blessing, as Apostle Irvin Whitman would say. You can't get a microwave blessing. You have to have a relationship. And what God thinks that you can handle, that's what he's going to bless you. If he thinks that you can't handle a new car, he's not going to bless you. Now, Satan will bless you, with a new car, but he will take that car away from you. But when God blesses you, can no one take that away from you? So that would be my input.
Now, I'm going to throw this out here for everybody. What happened to the day that when you would get out of your new car, or you got out the car, had a new outfit on, people would grab you by the hand in the parking lot and say, pray with me, because the blessing that's on you, I want it to fall on me. I want God to do something in my life. What happened to that hour?
So back in the day, yes, because they feared God then. They had respect and reverence for God then. They knew that if God healed you, if God did this for you, then surely, he's going to do it for me. The faith was not like it is today. We have put faith on so many different things. We don't believe God to pay a light bill. If you're working and you're able to pay your light bill, then that. We believe in God to heal cancer. We believe in God to raise people from the dead. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. We done went back down to the bottom. We were scratching the surface first, but we done fell off again. We fell off. We fell off, y'all. Then we got to come back to the church. It's time for us to come back.
All right. Pastor Whitlow, where you on this? Where you went with that, Whitlow?
I'm sorry, I had to deal with a little situation. Give me your question once again.
There was a time when you drove with the new car, new set of clothes, or whatever kind of blessing it was. The saints used to grab you by the hand and say, God is blessing you. I want to pray with you because I want that blessing to fall on me. What happened to you that day?
I'll tell you what happened. Times, seasons, and generations have changed. So there was a time, again, when the people of God cared for the people of God, and they were all, and their mindset, their attitude was, well, if this is what has happened for you, well, then I'm next. That was their mindset. The problem is we're in a time now where it's every man for himself. So, oh, if you got blessed, well, then I want to, so, well, shoot, I'm supposed to be more blessed than you. The mindset now is that the more blessed you are, the more saved you must be, the more godly you must be. So the mindsets have changed. The attitude, the spirit have changed, and these are some of the reasons why it's different now. Again, that thing, that jealousy, that envy, that covetousness, those things exist more now than ever. Back then, you know, even if we go back to Bible times, the Bible says that they had all things common, meaning that no one had more than the other. We're in a day and time now where the pastors are driving Bentleys, right, and the people are driving Pintos. And there's others who are looking at it and saying, wait a minute, something don't add up here. Because if God can do it for the leaders, why can't God do it for the followers? I'm just saying. So there's a different mindset. There's this thing now that's existing that doesn't look like God anymore, and it bothers people. That's the reality.
Before I get to Kenny Kim, you said something there, Whitlow. You said something. So I just want to mess with it a minute. You made the statement that people think because you got this or that, you're saved. Well, evidently, they didn't read that scripture where it says, I rain on the unjust as well as the just. So Jesus himself tells the matter that I can bless whoever I want to bless. But yet we look at, and I've seen it myself, we look at people just because they got this, that, or the other, we say, oh, God must be with them. And they might be the biggest drug dealer you ever see. But we think it's God's blessing. And sometimes they come to church for a month with the new car, and the next thing you know, you don't see the car no more. You don't have sense enough to go to them and say what happened. Then they start gossiping amongst each other. Where's the new car at? Well, the new car is where it's supposed to be. The repo man came and got it because you don't know how that got in the first place.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, we understand that God reigns on the just as well as the unjust, but even the unjust understand there is a principle. There is a principle. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. There are, believe it or not, there are unjust folk who believe in tithing. There were unjust folk who believe in sowing seed. There are unjust folk who, when they die, they leave everything to the church. So there's a principle involved why certain people receive certain things and others who claim to have this faith and this relationship with God, they don't practice. It's a terrible thing to not practice your fellowship and your relationship with God and then have the nerve to complain about those who do their part. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just throwing in my 52 cents.
Now, let me say this, and then we're going to Kenny Kim. I can remember a couple years of church bought a brand new house, and they invited us over to the housewarming, which they had a nice outdoor, you know, cookout and all that. They stopped the cookout and put me and the girl's mother in the middle and said, if God did it for us, he can do it for y'all. And, man, I'm telling you, I was so shocked that they stopped the whole cookout to have a prayer like that, that, Pastor, if God did it for us, he can do it for y'all. And I will never forget that. And I'm still looking for God to do it. I've been close to it, but it ain't exactly what I wanted. So I still believe that God can do it. And then on the flip side of that, I want to tell you how you can miss a blessing. They did that prayer at the housewarming, and a couple of years later, the Lord had already told me in my prayer time, she had a car that she was going to get rid of. The Lord had already told me she's supposed to give you the car, and I'm going to bless her when she go to get the next. She came to me, but you know what she did? She said, Pastor, how much you want to buy my car for? I told her, I said, nothing. I said, I don't want the car. The Lord, and I told her, I said, the Lord had already spoke to me and told me that you're supposed to give me that car. And she just stood there in amazement because God had told her in prayer, but she didn't do what the Lord said. And it took her a little while to get the car because she didn't do what the Lord said. I'm telling you, if we just do it God's way and get back to loving each other, man, we can see a lot of stuff happen like we used to that we're not seeing now. Don't you be giving gifts.
Well, basically, you guys said everything. I just want to add that sometimes we tend to get blessings that from God. They can be, but really the true blessings are when you see someone at peace, when you see that strength from someone, a praying person, someone who's so anointed that they just overflow the room. But I don't think there is something wrong with the church. I think there is something wrong with the church building because Jesus is the church. So with that being said, I really believe that when people tend to focus on things and not Jesus, of course, they get off course. Another thing I have come to realize that sometimes people think that because that person has these things and these things are from God that they are blessed. And sometimes that could be a misconception because I'm still reminding the word that it says to build your treasures in heaven, on heavenly things, not on earthly things, because those things are temporal. Don't get me wrong, God will bless you those things, but he says if you seek his kingdom first. And so you tend to find some people are coming to the gospel to be paid, so they want to the gospel, but not really live the gospel. And so you're seeing a lot of the, you know, prosperity gospel, been taught, but not how to stay holy, been taught. Instead of that, that has been replaced with being holy. And so that's why you see so many young people straying away because they're seeing more of the church people become more of like the world. With that being said, you're seeing people. If you look at Jesus, he says, I am the Son of God, and I have no home. How can you explain that? I mean, we understand he could have a home, but he's just indicating that this stuff that we are really looking at on earth, that's not where the true blessing is, because you can be a rich man and still have so much emptiness in your spirit. What really makes you rich is when you can still praise the Lord in the midst of having illness, still praising the Lord when you're homeless, still praising the Lord in the midst of lack. It's easy to praise the Lord in the midst of things. And so it bothers me when I hear that because they are, I mean, don't get me wrong, I really believe in working hard, getting my degrees and things like that, but that is not who I am. I am a servant of the Most High. That is my honor. That is the ultimate title that I carry to my heart. But you're finding that a lot of people don't think that way. They're more so concerned about impressing people, showing people that, hi, this is how you did me in high school, or they may have like some vengeance that they want to show to people who were mean to them. But that is not what the gospel is about. The gospel is just basically showing people how to live holy and getting ready for, you know, the coming of Jesus Christ. And that's where we are missing the point in some cases. And I can't truly say that it's the church, it's the church building, and it's how people are being led by people, but not by the Spirit, because the Spirit doesn't lie.
Now, Apostle C, she brought up a scripture that I need you to explain, because I think the church world is a little off with this scripture, and that scripture is, seek ye first the kingdom.
seek means to look. Ye first. That should be your first priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, who God is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. You can't have some of God. You got to have all of him. But you first have to seek him while he may be found. So basically what that means is when you're chasing after God, when you're seeking after him, nothing else matters. Your primary focus is on him and him alone. And when you seek him, that's when the direction comes. That's when revelation comes. Whatever you desire God to do comes from you seeking him first. So you can't give God a yes and then turn around and give him a maybe. You got to give him your full yes. And when you give him your full yes and you're seeking, again, that's when things are revealed and released. So I like to tell people, STK, seek the kingdom, but you've got to seek him first. So with that younger generation, as my sister said, the younger generation, yes, that's all they're hearing about is prosperity. Yeah, it's good to have money, yeah. Yeah. But while you smoking that weed, it's going to mess up your mind. While you're doing things that's contrary to God's word, you're going to miss him. And some people don't come back from that. So, again, preach your prosperity, yeah. But what about heaven and hell? You're not going to preach about that? In the scripture alone, in Matthew 5, it talks about that. It talks about empty mindset. So you going to hold a grudge against somebody who you see every day, but you love God whom you've never seen. You got to seek him first. And let me just put this on hand, and I'm going to leave this alone. See, when you seek him first, you don't have time to hate nobody. Because, again, the outside does not matter to you. It's like you're living in your own box, which is you and Jesus. Okay, I'm done.
And I just want to throw in a couple of pennies there. Really, this is class 101, really, with this text. But if you look at that word by itself, king's domain. So if it's the king's domain, that is, and it says seek the kingdom, you're really seeking the king. You're not seeking the place of dwelling. You're seeking the king that's over the domain. And she told us that tonight. You've got to seek God for the kingdom, and in the kingdom, he'll give you that you desire. But you got to be seeking him. You must be seeking him. So the word told us tonight, if you are angry with your brother, the court is going to get you for staying angry. I want to tell somebody tonight, it's time to get over your anger. I don't understand. I know I'm opening up a can of worms now, but I'm going to go ahead and pop this hand. How a brother and a sister can be mad with each other for 15, 20 years about something that happened when you were teenagers. And you ain't really talked to each other in 15 or 20 years over a little petty thing that happened when you were 12 and 13 years old. And it got got the nerve to say I'm saved and ain't got it together yet. But go ahead, Willow.
There's a reason for that. You have to remember, a lot of people have not seen real Christianity in action. What we've heard is a lot of talk. We've seen a lot of rhetoric, but we haven't seen any practical. Here's what I'm saying. We've gone to the house of worship. We danced. we've spoken in tongues, we've fallen out, we've flipped and done cartwheels, even farted in the sanctuary and felt good about it and left out and went home and nothing was different because people did not come to hear a life-changing word or have a life-changing encounter with God. They came for a good entertainment session. They didn't come to be edified in their life. They didn't come to live a better life. They just came for a good time. And so because they didn't see it from others, they didn't have need to do anything differently. And so this has been the result, that people have now been living, holding things in their heart because no one has said, hey, this is the right way to do it. This is what God requires. This is what God expects. I'll tell you something. I'll never forget that my father had to get on one of the saints at the church. Because I had come to town and visited, and the saint came by my father's place and spoke to my father, spoke to my father's visiting nurse, spoke to my father's godson, and saw me and ignored me. And my father said, hold up, wait a minute. I know you saw Apostle sitting there. And you didn't speak to him? And you said you're saved? Do you think God is pleased with that? First of all, you need to repent, and then you need to speak to him. The individual said, I apologize, Apostle. I repent. How are you? My father said, as long as you're claiming to be a born-again believer, don't you ever do that. Because the world is watching, and the Bible says, by this will men know that you're my disciples, when you have love for one another. Not a grudge, but love. Not an attitude, but love. I'm just talking about what my daddy told me. That's all. I'm done.
Well, I want to look at something else here and go a little deeper, because if that first part of that verse is that you're going to have problems with the court. But then in the second part, it went even a little further and said you're going to have problems with Supreme Court. Somebody tell me the difference between court and Supreme Court. Why is there so much a difference, and why would it make those two statements? What is court and Supreme Court? Anybody, somebody?
You know,
well,
that you have what's called
the highest court.
What's that?
That's the highest. Supreme Court is one of the highest courts. It's up there with the appellate court. So regular court is just, you know, your circuit court. But when you go to the Supreme Court, that they have jurisdiction over your circuit court. They make their appellate court, Supreme Court, they make decisions to overturn anything that's going on. So your lower courts are your circuit courts. So Supreme is high. That's a higher court. That's the judgment hall. That's where God sits.
Now, can I say that in this scripture, he's telling us, if you can't love one another, he said, I got some angels that's going to deal with you. But if it goes far enough, Supreme Court, now you got to deal with me. Is that what he's saying?
Actually, yes.
That's what he's saying. I would rather for you to talk it amongst yourself, to get it right amongst yourself. But if I see that you can't do that, then I'll step in and I'll have to find you something.
So therefore, when you can't get it together, God says, you make me get involved.
Yes, sir.
It's bad enough that my angels try to get you together, and they couldn't do it. You wouldn't let them do it. He says, so you keep it up. Now, I got to come. He said, but when you go to the Supreme Court, there's going to be some stuff happening in the Supreme Court that the angels couldn't do. But now you're dealing with me, it's going to be a mess for sure. And who on this phone, who on Facebook, TikTok, GitRock, whatever it is, whatever social media you're on, that, who is it that wants to have to deal with God? I don't know. I read that Japanese Bible, but there, somewhere in there, didn't they say it would be big in the hands of an angry man than in the hands of God? In the hands of an angry God, let me say it right. Did they tell us that?
Yes, it did. And I don't want to fall into the hands of an angry God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And I don't think anybody, well, you know, some people might try to test them, but I don't think any real born believer wants to fall into the hands of an angry God, because we've seen what he did to them people back in the Bible. He, you know, I used to say God was ruthless. He didn't care. You didn't do what I told you to do. Bam, you did. I said that before. Nobody wants it. Well, I ain't going to say that. I don't want to experience that. That's in the punishment. I'm good.
They came up with a play years ago in New York. Say your arms are too short to box with God. Is that statement true?
Absolutely. And to be truthful, it would be a foolish attempt to box with God, because you ain't going to win no how.
It would be a what?
A foolish attempt to box with God, because you ain't going to win no how.
Sound like you are some kind of trial here. Lord have mercy. All right, read the next part about this person, say a rocker.
Hold on.
You still got it for something?
Hold on. Well, can we go read it or you want me to? Oh, whoa. Hold on. Next part would have been verse 23. What is it?
I think we are 5 and 22.
So that's 5 and 22?
Yeah,
all right, 5 and 22 says, but I say to you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice against him shall be guilty before the court, that's lower court, or whoever speaks his brother. So you give an insult and you bash your brother's name. A rock, you empty-headed idiot. So basically, again, you're doing all of this, but you're supposed to know him, right?
We talk to each other like that, call somebody an empty-headed idiot.
Yeah, some people call you a fool.
Yeah. Lord,
but see, here's the thing. After you do all of that, you're going to be found guilty in the Supreme Court.
I want to throw this in there. And so evidently to call somebody an empty-headed idiot, you done went from fussing to being angry and almost violent. Am I right, Willow?
Yes, that is the case. You're in a rage. You're in a rage. And that goes along with being mad or having a prolonged anger, because what happens is you go from being angry into a rage, into a fury, into being mindless. And so it reminds me of what the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the individual who is absolutely angry, thinking another way about someone else, is really becoming that themselves.
What else somebody else got to say on that? Rocker, you empty me all.
She just sent me a flat out.
What was that?
She forgot about it. I said, you just cussed the person out. Just, you using my profane language. Why are you doing all that?
You ain't have to do that. You could have worked out your own problems without the courts getting involved. But since you couldn't, since you wanted to be a 2-year-old, since you wanted to be two.
I guess this word back in that day, rocker, was like people that want to say freak now. People that want to say, what's that other word everybody like to use? But they want to use cover words for what they really want to say, and think it's all right with God.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said last week, God know what you really meant to say. Even with your covering up self, you just like this rocker person, or rocker, you're just like this person that's really cussing but not using the word. Who are we to call somebody an empty-headed idiot? Even if some folks do act a little off, who gave us the power to call them an idiot?
Nobody.
So why do we do it?
Stupidity.
Is there some kind of flesh issue in the way? Is there something within that needs to be dealt with to get folk to that place where they're calling somebody an empty-headed idiot?
Yes.
And how old is this text?
Oh,
thousands of years.
Thank you. This text goes back years, and even still, in 2021, we got folks calling you idiot, you old empty head. You ain't about nothing. You ain't gonna mount to nothing. You ain't gonna be nothing. And you gotta be dangerous. You gotta be careful with that kind of stuff. Especially if God has already talked to them and told them they're gonna be great, and then you calling them something negative, you're in danger of God, not in danger of them.
Now that's powerful.
See, because now, and this is what we need to remember, we're no longer talking about that person, even though we think we are. We're now talking about God, because God done spoke over their life.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start, when somebody starts coming in with a negative vibe about what God said, it's going to be great. Now you saying, God, you're the stupid head idiot. Uh-oh. Let me shut up, let y'all talk. I don't know what I'm talking about. No, how? Go ahead. Anybody want to talk?
Lord, help your people, Jesus. Help them, Lord, today. Like right now, Lord. Help them.
Really think about it. If we're calling them empty-headed idiots, Why are we calling them an empty-headed idiot? Evidently, we're coming against something that was said that was great, or something that we thought was a stupid thought, or something that we thought ain't going to work in the church. You know, you need to sit yourself down. You always think you're so big. So, actually, what we are saying, we have said, Raca unto them. Sit down, you idiot. And we're talking to God because God gave them this. And it could bless the church. But now you done told the church somebody stupid was standing up talking. We got a lot of leaders. We got a lot of leaders like that. I hate to say it. I hope y'all don't do it. I might have to go thank you. But the thing about it is we got a lot of leaders that talk about their people like that. You sit down, I'm in charge here. No, you ain't in charge either. You might be over us, but you ain't in charge like you think you're in charge. That's why there's so much trouble in a lot of places. Because now, man done took over God's place. And God can't rule like he wants to, because now we're telling the folks we're in charge. Lord have mercy. Somebody talk to me. For y'all make me talk so much I feel I'm messed up. Go on, talk. Go on, talk. Give it care.
That,
toss a flight with those up at it. Go ahead,
Paul. I think that God is really trying to give his people the opportunity to do right on their own. It's as if he leaves his word, if you will, as a manual, as a map on what to do and how to do it. And he expects his people to operate according to this, if you will, this map, this compass, this instruction book. He expects his people to operate accordingly. But people have gotten to the place where they think they can do it without God's help or God's instruction. And that's why they're struggling to be better and do better. There should never be a time when you should allow yourself to get so angry that you would call somebody empty-headed. You know, and the most time that it really happens is when people are driving. That's when they really call people out of their name. They call them all kind of things. They call them a fool. They call them a nutcase. They call them something else. And they're comfortable with doing it. But the problem is they're offending God by what they do, because the Bible says that man is made after the similitude of God. And he then goes on to say that blessings, and he says, bitter and sweet don't come out of the same place. Neither should blessings and curses.
Ooh, now that's a preach word right there now. Good God Almighty, because I sure told somebody, I called them a nut because they cut me off in traffic. Lord, I'm sorry.
And then the next part says, whosoever shall say thou fool. And we know from the first week the fool has that in his heart. There is no God. They want to be God.
That what is it?
Then the next week we found out that a man was building barns and thought he could lay back and rest forever. And he said, you fool, you're going to die tonight. And now we hear tonight that everybody doing this kind of thing. And then you mess around, you already called him an empty-headed idiot. Now you're going to turn around and say, thou fool. You know, you ain't nothing but a fool. God said you're using strong language. And he said, you're going to, now notice now, he said, if you're angry and can't get it together, if you got a temper that's so bad, because if I had empty-headed fool, they're going to be have to be dealt with a higher court. He said, but when you call somebody a fool, what did the other part say?
Anybody you said when you find somebody, you said what now? When you find a fool, you leave a fool. You what
say,
you said?
He said, when you say about a fool, what was the next part? Oh, all of y'all should be saying something.
You are in danger of hellfire.
Wait a minute. So calling somebody a fool is greater than being mad, greater than being upset. You call somebody a fool. If he's dead, you're on your way to hell and don't know.
Ooh.
That's what he said.
So you mean to tell me when people call me a fool, they're on their way to hell?
They're on their way to
hell.
Because to be a fool means you don't even believe in God. And if you are a believer and somebody call you a fool, they have offended God because you are a believer.
They better repent now. Repent now. Repent, sir, ma'am, now. Because that's very important.
This scripture, I've said it many times, but when I began to hear it and run it over in my mind last week, I guess this thing is so dangerous that if people could really see it for what it says, I think some folks would straighten up and do right and stop using words that they don't know is getting them in trouble. I mean, it said, whoever says thou fool, and you know why you're on the way to hell? Because you have made a judgment to call somebody a fool. God writes it down as a judgment. You judged them and told them they were a non-believer, that they think they're in charge. You think you are God. And God said, while you're talking, you're in danger of hell. Give me care where you at. Tell me what you're thinking about.
I really believe what you said is true. It also states in the Bible that when you call someone, let's say, for instance, if you use gossip against someone, that is murder. If you say something that is evil against them, that is murder. One thing I've come to realize about God is that anything that you do, it could be like a thought, it could be like a saying, if it's not holy, it's not right. And so that's why it's important that we continue on focus on what is good, what is honor, what is true. That's why the word keeps saying to us that when we are called to be a believer, we are called to study to show ourselves approval. Because when we show ourselves approval, we want to diligently seek after his ways and after his precepts. So with that being said, when you call someone a fool, you're talking about your brother. Because he did tell us that we must have brotherly love even for our enemies. And so when you call someone out their name, you're actually murdering them. And so I really believe that it's important that we continue on, not focus on what our faults are. Because it says in Galatians chapter, I believe that's 5, that when we see someone at a fault, we are called to really help them. We are called to be a blessing to them. So when you see someone at fault, you're supposed to pray for them. And calling someone a fool is not something that God would approve, because I still believe what you speak it out of your mouth, life and death, comes from the tongue. It says that in the word. So that's why it's very, that's why we have to be very careful with what we say out of our mouths, because this tongue is very, very poisonous and it's very deadly. And so that is why we have two ears and one mouth, so we can listen before we speak and think before we speak, because sometimes we can overthink. I mean, we can, like, listen and actively without the proactivity and say the wrong thing. And sometimes when you say the wrong thing to an individual, that person can really either cause them to, you know, fall, or cause them to become, you know, a person who don't believe in the Lord. So that's why it's important that we let our life shine and, you know, continue on. I mean, it's hard, but that's why he says that we must continually, diligently seeking after him, because our flesh, we fight daily. So that's why we got to keep on pressing. So with that being said, I really believe that when you call someone a fool, you cannot have the Son of God in you. Because if you look at it, Jesus could have called us a fool when he was on the cross. But the first thing he said was, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He did not say, "Those fools, they just don't know what they just did. I'm about to rise up in 3 days and come down and just take on revenge." He didn't do any of those things. He still was, like, serving to us. And that's why it's really, really hard to live without the Spirit, because you cannot do this by your own might. You must be led by the Spirit. Yes.
I'm gonna do something tonight I don't think I've ever done before. I'm going to ask Apostle Fee and Apostle Whip, though. If you had to preach this text, what would the subject be?
If I had to preach this text, I would preach, "You're in danger." You're in danger. That's what I would talk about. It's that simple.
All right. What about you, Pastor P?
Lord, I guess great minds think alike. Because I was going to say, don't be doomed by what comes out of your mouth.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. Y'all know I get too deep too much. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to sleep.
Say what?
I'm going to take me a 2-second nap. But, you know, all seriousness, we really do have to be careful of what comes out of our mouth, because, I mean, the slightest thing, that's why my prayer daily is, "Lord, please forgive me of the sins that I've committed knowingly and unknowingly, in commission, out of commission." Some people don't pray that prayer. They just say, "Forgive me for my sins." No, I want you to forgive me for the ones that I don't know that I do. Because rolling my eyes at somebody in traffic after you cut me off, that's a sin. It really is. I look at it, the Bible says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." If I don't let somebody out of the flow of traffic, and here I am, I want somebody to let, you ain't let nobody else out, so why you think they're going to let you out? So not only are we mindful of what comes out of our mouth, but we're mindful of our actions. It's an action thing. But, you know, who am I? I'm just Felicia.
Tell you, we got one more Tuesday. I'm going to bring us to a close tonight. But I thank everyone for their participation tonight. Thank God for the Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow. Thank God for the Apostle Felicia E. Flight. Thank God for the Dr. Kim Robinson. devoted. If you're going through hell, don't stop. But go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. God got something greater in store for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Here's my prayer. See you next Tuesday in Jesus' name. Kimmy Kim, make it rock, make it roll.
Hey, it's that time of year again, man. I'm so excited. Let's just have some fun. If we made it through the year, we're all here, so let's do a big for everybody.
Holiday season, baby. We're going to have some fun. Let's do this thing, man. Let's do a big from us to you.
It's time for us to spread some love. Peace and holiday cheer. It's that season. Special time of the year. So go and grab your family, friends too. Let's celebrate the baby boy, the same in you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
You and me, you and I.